During the Celtic Tiger, my next guest had it all. A booming motor dealership, four showrooms selling 40 cars a week and free helicopter rides to his customers. But it all began to go wrong as sales dried up and the banks called in the money they were owed. He wrote his first book, Shepherd's Pie, about his experiences and his subsequent mental and financial recovery. And now he has a new book which is called Back in the Driving Seat, and in this he shares his experiences and delivers a guide to recovery and tells us that his readers that now more than ever they need to take control of their own future. Back in the Driving Seat, Creating Your Own Business Recovery is its title. George Morton, good morning and welcome to the programme.
Thank you, good morning.
Now tell us about Shepherd's Pie, first of all. This was in response to your personal experience of the recession. How quickly was your slide from prosperity to not quite penury, but challenging times?
I would say probably about 6-7 months. The motor industry was hit with two tsunamis in 2008. First, obviously, the global financial crisis, because the entire industry is built on credit. And second of all, the Green Party at the time overhauled the VRT position. So we had two tsunamis and things moved very abruptly.
You were selling 40 cars a week and then it went down to...
Went down to 2-3 cars per week and then sort of stabilised eventually with 5, maybe 6 per week.
Now, Shepherd's Pie was about coping with fear of what was happening to you.
Yeah, Shepherd's Pie, now that I look back on it, was about the emotional correction. It was about backing yourself into a corner and making the decision that you wanted to fight. It was either give up or it was fight. And that really was what the story was about. It was a call to arms for all of the people across the country that struggled the way that I did. I didn't realise that at the time. It was subsequently after the book came out that it started to become clear.
Now, you're still trying to maintain an ordinary family life. And yet every day you go to the letterbox, fear.
Registered post, now you can lose 2 stone with the registered post, and particularly if somebody calls you to say that it's in the post office. Absolutely. I mean, the rehabilitation continues, Pat, and I take nothing for granted, but it is very much ahead of schedule and we're heading for good times, I feel, in time.
In time. Are you talking about you personally or the economy generally?
No, I'm talking about me personally. I would say the opposite of the economy in general terms.
How many other people contacted you after Shepherd's Pie came out to share their experiences?
Well, that was the thing. I mean, when Shepherd's Pie came out, I knew the story would be relevant. And, you know, there was vast national and international media attention. But all of a sudden, people started to email me. They started to phone me. People came to my premises. And I ended up sitting with these people. I would go and I'd do a presentation or a speech somewhere in the country. And I would be there for hours afterwards with people really asking one question, and the question was, what is it that you do? How do you sort out the banks? What did you do? And it became clear that while Shepherd's Pie was hugely relevant to a lot of people in terms of rolling up their sleeves, I hadn't gone into enough detail about what it is that I actually...
The practical things that you did.
The step-by-step guide, almost.
And the kind of people you met, though, you have said that you think it's only a matter of time before someone takes a legal action against a bank for the suicide of a loved one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm concerned because I should say that, you know, I am one of the participants of a debt resolution program, and I've just completed that, and I fear also about what personal insolvency and debt resolution programs are going to do from a suicide point of view. For me, thank God, I have strong mental health, although it was challenged at a point in time. I really fear about the decisions that have to be made for people. And I think an awful lot of people, I think, Pat, could I say this, right? I think the country is heading in a very dangerous road. We've come through 5 years of austerity and all of that stuff, right? But right now, if you stand back in the cold light of day and look at what's happening, in one of the businesses I have, immigration is now really hurting. Our good clients are coming in, they're getting the job that we do done, and then they're saying, listen, thank you very much, we're off to Australia on Monday. That's a real issue. The other issue is personal insolvency. In the summer, anything up to 100,000 people will start the process of applying for that. The process that they're going to have to go through is going to grip even further the consumer spend. That and one-to-one resolution programs, which is what I've gone through, I believe is going to heighten the entire process for an awful lot of people that are already very, very fragile.
But even talking about the insolvency process and the guidelines, and we talked to Lorcan O'Connor about that last week, it may not be quite as strict as might have been the case, the bank looking for every single red cent from you at the moment. But once you go into the insolvency process, sorry, you've got to have money to do this. You've got to have money to do that. You've got to even have money for a little recreation, which at the moment the bank may be saying, sorry, we want every penny.
And I would assume the opposite, having gone through it. You know, you've got bankruptcy, you've got personal insolvency, and now there's a third choice. There's a one-to-one resolution. And this is what Back in the Driving Seat talks about. It's about evoking your own Chapter 11. And I would call on people today to take that third choice. Don't go bankruptcy unless you have to. Don't go personal insolvency. Evoke your own Chapter 11. What is it that it is in America that somebody like me can be taken, bubble wrapped for 12 months under Chapter 11, given the second chance? And the whole spirit in America is that you deserve a second chance. Whereas here in Ireland, it's the opposite, right? You don't deserve a second chance. The country is gripped by begrudgery. And the reality is that I'm supposed to be, with others, you know, either cascaded for 3 years or up to 6 years in my situation, because I'd be going for
So have you avoided that by doing your own personal Chapter 11?
And that's what I call on people to do. This is what the book is about. It's about creating a second chance and giving yourself that second chance.
One of the points you make is that people who run SMEs are in no way educated to deal with the banks.
Yeah.
They don't actually know the rules.
Yeah. In other words, I would say to you that I would believe, and I include myself in this, that we're actually not the business people that we thought we were. We thought we were brilliant because of, you know, the build up to the crash. Now, when the true test comes, we don't know how to communicate. We don't know how to present to the banks. And I would say to people that that has become abundantly clear.
Now, there is a code of conduct which was introduced by the central bank back in 2009, and it's very interesting.
Revised in 2011.
Go on, tell me.
The reality is I wrote about this in the past. I mean, people are entitled in SMEs to a whole load of rights. For example, you can decide how many times a month a bank can contact you.
You can decide that.
You can decide that, absolutely. You can sit with your bank official and you can determine quite a lot with that official, of which once you're fulfilling your obligation, which is to be transparent, which is to be open, they must reciprocate that. And so what I'm saying is that there are a whole load of people out there today that are struggling with business who are under pressure with banks, not having researched the code, not understanding that they can protect themselves, that they can control the situation.
So what other protections, besides telling the bank how often they can contact you, what other protections do you have in the code?
Well, the reality is that the bank can't touch you until after the 90-day period in terms of arrears. Nothing is officially in arrears until after 90 days. And once you make a formal commitment to make any element of a payment, and you can justify, it's back to the Chapter 11 issue, almost in its own principle,
that
you
can justify. It's not a hopeless case.
Yeah,
if
you can justify away, absolutely, yeah. And they've got to give you the time and the space to allow you to process that.
So why are SMEs not invoking this code?
Because people haven't educated themselves. The banks don't talk about it. The press haven't picked up on it the way they should have. And again, this comes back to understanding the Morse code of the banks at times. For the Joe Soap living in Westport or living in Wexford, right, that you know, is 45 years of age, that's done great stuff in his business, right? You know, the true issue is, how does he decipher what it is the bank are saying to him? How does he understand what it is that he needs to do? And this is my great issue with people. We are where we are now. And the question that you now have to ask yourself as a business person, or even if you're a homeowner in arrears, what is it that you are prepared to do to resolve the issues of your life? And that was the decision that I made. What was it that I was willing to do? What extent would I go to? What ethical line would I walk in order to survive? It became clear that my government weren't going to recover me. My bank weren't going to recover me. Europe was in the doldrums, right? And the economy was flying down the tube. So I made the decision to evoke my Chapter 11 and to create my own recovery.
Now, talk to me about that moral dilemma. I mean, where ethically have you strayed into areas that you wouldn't have strayed before? What have you done?
Park one company on a Friday evening, open another on a Monday morning.
Which you never would have done before?
Never thought I could do it.
So
didn't liquidate it.
Explain the mechanism to me of how you do that.
The issue is very simple. For me, I was backed into a corner. So what was it that I needed to do to end the dilemma that I was in? What I mean is to improve the quality of my life. I'm not talking financially. I'm talking to be able to live, to be able to breathe, to be able to sleep, to be able to eat. Once I had that achieved, what was it that I needed to do to ensure that I had some form of income coming in? And so it became very clear to me that I had to force the issue with the bank through foreclosure, through bankruptcy, or through an agreed process, which is where I ended up being. Once that was done, I then had to ensure that if I had a debt-laden company, which I did, that had to be dumped effectively.
But you had the protection of limited liability.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. And I acknowledge that. But in the end, the truth of it is, I made the conscious decision that not only would I stop one company and start another, but I had to reinvent the wheel in the second company and ensure that no rat's tails came across and that I had learned my lessons from the first company. Pat, you know why? Because the country needs, okay, and I need to say this, right, for people that are listening, the country needs the Irish entrepreneur. Okay, with respect to the Googles and all that they've brought to the country over the last 10 years, the reality is over the last 50 years, it was the Bernard McNamara's, it was the shopkeeper, it was the car salesman that helped build this country, right? We deserve a second chance. The country needs us to have our second chance. We are the people that will go on to recover this economy. Well,
what do you say, though, to people who say, look, OK, you've written off your debts, you've managed to escape via the limited liability vehicle in the case of a company, and you've, by a personal debt resolution process with the bank, you've managed to write off some debts, or they've shared the pain with you, shall we say. But the banks, if there's the state-owned banks, and we know AIB is largely owned by the state, Bank of Ireland partially owned by the state and so on, that's the taxpayer who are paying for your debts.
I would say simply two things. First of all, I will continue to pay for my debts for many, many years, and so be it, and I accept that, and that should be the way it is, number one. Number two, the moral hazard that you're talking about. If we do not evoke a Chapter 11 type process, if the people of this country do not allow the entrepreneurial spirit to be rekindled in this country, we will all suffer the consequences. And so I say to the person that never borrowed a penny today, okay, that never recklessly did anything, I say to them that it is people who are self-employed that helped create the 1.5 million people that are in work today, that built the road structure that is, I mean, I drove from Clonmel this morning, and as a 25 years ago, it would take 3.5 hours to come up here. It took 1.5 hours this morning. We have all made a contribution to that, as the taxpayer has as well. But surely putting me back to work, allowing me to employ, allowing me to take a greenfield site and to develop it and employ 35 more people, surely that is the quickest way to recovering the economy for all of us. And if we all have an economy recovered, aren't we all the beneficiary?
All right. So this business, I'm reminded of a comparison with the banks. You've got this company which you've decided to shut down because it's maybe owes the landlord a lot of money, owes the revenue a lot of money, has different creditors and so on. You decide to shut it down and start the new company, doing precisely the same thing as the old company did. It's a bit like the good bank, bad bank. It's a bit like Bank of Ireland and NAMA. A bit like AIB and NAMA. A bit like Anglo and NAMA. The whole idea was banks continue on doing what they're supposed to be doing, and the other stuff is taken over by NAMA. In your case, though, there's no NAMA, you just shut it down.
Okay, and so I should say to you that the secured creditors were the only people that were affected. Okay, that's very important, because I think there were suppliers of mine that were families and they had to be looked after. Second of all, it isn't the same as the old company because we reinvented the wheel. That's the other issue in the book. Creative technology over the last 5 years has left the people of Ireland standing in business. So we've gone on and we've reinvented the wheel and we've come up with a different concept in Clonmel. So there was no point in going from old co to new co and repeating the process. It had to be different. It had to be creative. It had to stand out. And
So you have a new business plan, bearing in mind all you've learned, even from the bad experience.
We now sell cars that we don't have to people that we never met. It's called virtual selling. And it's now in its second year. It's completely unique and it works brilliantly. And that's the truth of it. And again, I say to people, the book isn't all about debt, by the way. The book is about... look, the guy that's sitting in Wexford today, that's outside the drapery shop, that's saying there's nothing going on, things are really bad, that isn't all down to the economy. That's down to the technology and the advances and the online selling and all of that kind of stuff as well.
But just some of the checklists. Decide which staff you'd rehire, how much you'd like to pay them. Decide which clients are worth keeping. Decide how you can make new co better than old co. Advise your landlord that you need to terminate your lease as your company's going to cease trading. Advise all staff on the date of the cessation. Say you can't pay any redundancy. Tell them how to claim their statutory. Call a creditors meeting for a Friday evening somewhere that'll take an effort to get to. Now, that's dirty tricks.
New Ross was one of the places that was on the agenda at the time.
Then you wait a week and you start up all over again. And, you know, you've justified why you would do that, because it gets you back to work. But there's one other interesting thing, that we tar all bankers with the same brush. But you say you heard from bankers and that bank staffs are finding it difficult to do the things their lords and masters tell them to do.
this is going to be controversial, but there are good people working in some of the banks and I've met them and I've spoken to them, and there are people with vindictive natures working in banks, and that's why I called one of the chapters Good Banks, Bad Banks and Ugly Banks. There are people that are suffering today because of personalities in banks, because of vendettas, right? But I've met positive people. But I've engaged with them. Not always, Pat, but there are intelligent people that want to do the morally right thing. There are intelligent people in the bank that are willing to help people like myself to come back. And I should stress, right, that I, for many, many years, a decade at the very minimum, will continue to fund my mistakes of the past.
There are two last things. One is you've got to get rid of yourself, if you suffer from it, of the disease to please.
Yeah. You've got to do what you've got to do. It's break balls or be broken. It's street fighting. That's exactly where we're at.
And the last thing, and a lot of people might go scurrying to their files, you say review your paperwork. A lot of sloppy stuff was done in the Celtic
Unbelievable.
Tiger.
Unbelievable.
You may find that the bank who think they have a stranglehold over you don't necessarily have that hold.
Get a securities expert to go down through absolutely everything. Start with the sanction letter and move forward. Look for the continuity in your offer letters and your personal guarantees. Do not get caught. I say to people today, if you're in arrears with your home mortgage, if your business is struggling, make the decision to bring about your end to the misery that we're all living in. Decide to evoke your own Chapter 11. There is a third option besides insolvency and bankruptcy.
Well, I'm sure people will find it very interesting reading, whether they agree with you or not, on your moral compass.
It is controversial.
Back in the driving seat, it's called Creating Your Own Business Recovery. It's published by Mercier Press. The price is $14.99. And the author, George Mordaunt, thank you very much for joining us in
thank
studio.
You, Pat.